have seen an incredible response from people as they've heard the message of God's unmerited favor. Okay? And what we preach in this church is really quite simple. God is not angry with you. God is not upset with you. God does not put a big "you should try harder" mark against your name. What he does is he says, whenever you come to Jesus, you're a brand new creation. You're something which never existed before. You're not like an upgrade on something that was old, and you simply get Jesus, and then the way to change is to look at everything that's bad about your life and ask God to help you. He completely and utterly, radically changed you the moment you came to faith. And the journey of the Christian life is not trying to deal with sin per se, because sin was dealt with by Jesus. God is not afraid of sin. It's not something that needs to be controlled in us or in anybody else. What he always does is simply points us straight back to Jesus and says, get a bigger revelation of what Jesus did for you. Live out of that, and what you'll find is that all those things that you can't change yourself, all those attitudes and all those things of heart, will change, not because you're trying to make it happen, but because you understand what Jesus did in you. And I have to say, the response has been phenomenal. And it's been great online, particularly around the world. You know, we get about a couple of thousand, 2,500 people a month downloading the teaching. And just really, really great. We have our fair share of nutcases, to be fair. Can you say that? But seriously, I sent one to the elders this week going, listen, welcome to my world. Have a wee read of this. It was about 14 pages of scripture, which at the end of it was, I think, basically, Jesus isn't God and everybody should leave the church. So really encouraging kind of stuff, as well as, as well as, you know what? I'm praying for my sick kids in Canada this morning because there's faith in me that God is for me. And irrespective of how I've done this week, God still wants to bless me and love me and change me. So it's been really, really, really good. So what I wanted to do in the middle is I'm going to do a couple more weeks, and then we're starting a new series on grace called I Choose for the summer. I've asked three guys, and you'll know them. They've got 10 minutes each. And I've asked them, Chris McGimsey, David Hamilton, and Paul Jordan. They're going to give a short testimony just about what grace has done in them, because I want you to hear the effects of what this is like in real life. And here's the interesting thing for you. Do you know that prophecy in the Bible carries with it a sense? Prophecy means, do it again, Lord. So whenever somebody, what I want you to do this morning is to listen to what these men are going to tell you. I have no idea what they're going to say, so I'm quite excited, I think. But what I want you to do is to listen. And as you listen to what God has done in them, what it tells you is God can do it in you as well. So as every time there's a prophetic word given in the Bible, or every time somebody speaks their testimony, it carries with it from the Spirit of God a prophetic sense of God, do that again. And if he can do it in them, he can do it in you. All right? So the point is not for them to look really brilliant. The point is for you to be encouraged that if God can work with these three, he can work with anyone. Isn't that right? Now, there was a fight over who was going to go first, but Chris McGimsey won. So this is Chris McGimsey. Why don't you put your hands together for him? And take the mic, speak clearly into it.
Speaking to the nation here. My goodness. Good morning. Good morning, folks. My name's Chris. I'm married to Karen, my lovely wife there sitting beside Kathy, with four children. Andrew gave me a call on Monday morning, about 11 o'clock, and silly me answered the call, thinking that he was probably taking me for lunch, but then he hit me with a bombshell that he was wanting me to do my testimony. Now, this is miles from anything that I'm well out of my comfort zone. Hated things, I guess, in school. Had every excuse in the book to avoid it. That's really a big, big fear of mine. And I'm actually going to talk about fear with that today. But I really wanted to do it, and I know Andrew wanted me to do it, so here we go. So I'm going to just start about life, because I don't have a long history within church. It's been quite short-lived, really. Until I found Exchange. So I'll just tell you a bit about my life sort of through. So born in 69, raised up in Glengormley in a very mixed area. Had a lot of Catholic friends. And there's a funny story, actually. I came in one day, I was probably about 10 years of age, proud as punch, with a big sticker on my shirt. And I had a roll of stickers, which I plastered all over my bedroom, on my school, you know, in my school bag. And it was green, white and gold, vote John Hume. which my dad was horrified, but I was very naive. But a sticker's a sticker, eh? So that was that. And moving on then, we have a family business on the Shankill Road. And I was introduced to that from a very young age, probably about 12, packing spuds with my granny out the back. And total contrast to what I was used to. Like 6 miles away, I'm coming down onto the Shankill Road where everything gets painted red, white and blue, the lampposts, the curbs, anything that stands still, basically. If you left your car too long, probably painted red, white and blue as well. So life working on the Shango was totally different. And then when I left school, brought in full time, had to do it for the family, because, you know, and seen a lot of things on the Shango, to be honest, a lot of things that sort of live with me, but didn't really faze me so much. Probably within our shop, we've seen shootings galore on a day, you know, within a few years, probably about 6 people murdered within about 50 yards of this shop during the day. We had the Shankill bomb, which was next door to us. And that was, I'm sure, was sort of thinking now from my mum and dad who were at home that day, and their 4 children were sort of 3 yards away from where the bomb was. So, but it didn't really faze me that much. It's just part of life down there, and I'm sort of thinking about fear. And really, I should have had a fear of loud noises and things like that there, but because I sort of confronted it all the time, it wasn't a fear for me. Sort of because public speaking and things like this have been a fear because I've never confronted it. I've always tried to avoid it, and as I've avoided that, it's manifested with, you know, within me. So moving on from that then I hit the high life and heading out into Belfast with the boys and had a jolly old time for a lot of years. Then met my wife Karen one night, exchanged telephone numbers and hooked up. And then actually met her on the 2nd of July, which is quite significant. Because the following year, on the 2nd of July, our first son was born, Niall, which was a bombshell, to say the least. So having to break the news to the parents and having to speak to Karen's dad was nearly as frightening as this. Not quite, but nearly as frightening as this. But told him I would stick by her. Things was going to be okay. I think everybody was a bit sort of skeptical, and my mum sort of just gave me the silent treatment. I would have preferred her to chew the head of me and say, what are you doing things like that for? Like, that's ridiculous. But she didn't. She gave me the silent treatment for a while and probably just worry. But here we are today, still together, and 3 more children after that. So then moved out to Ballyclare, kids schooling in Ballyclare. And developed friendships, and as the kids sort of developed friendships, we also did, and we met John and Carolyn Wasson. Met John with the kids' rugby on a Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning, we were there watching Sam and Ewan play their rugby. And then got very, very close to them. And it was on sort of social occasions, you know, when we sort of first met. There's a few funny things, just sort of through chat, talking about personal interests and things like that there, and speaking to John, and found John a lovely, lovely guy, and a wee bit wacky, you know. You know, things like, we'd been talking about music and that, and whenever he told me that he'd never heard of Michael Jackson's Thriller album, I sort of went, hello? Seriously? The most recognisable artist of history, you know, through life. And going, and, but this was a guy from Clark Mills, and he knew more about different varieties of potatoes. Probably could have told you about 400 varieties of spuds, more than what I actually knew. And also he was in the Clark Mills accordion band, which unheard of on the Shangle to see a man's accordion band. We were used to the SPB flying up there, 70 boys, tattoos, flutes, the lot, you know. So, seemed a really nice guy, and, you know, Carolyn too had something very endearing about her, and we just hooked up, spent a lot of time, did a lot of life together as our family grew, and went on holiday together and did everything that friends do. Sure, just have no secrets with each other at all. Then, moving on from that, then, get my notes. Hang on. Lost. A lot of notes here. Yeah, so. Then in 2012, John had said this a few times about this new fabulous church he had went to. And exchange, of course, nowhere else. Yeah. And he had said this about coming. I was never, ever in the church. It was just, I went to Sunday school, did all that. Kids went to Sunday school, did the children's days, the BB parades, things like that there. But didn't really do it for me. I found it quite boring, the Presbyterian church and different things like that there. And but then a few times he had sort of mentioned about going, and out of respect for John, I says to Karen, actually Karen said to me, she says, come on, we'll go. I says, right. And Karen's mum, who spent an awful lot of time at home in our house, helping us through everything, it was about 3 times a week. And our dad too, popping in all the time. And she always said, you know, I'm praying for you, you know, I want you to go to church, and sort of laughed it off. And she's always great, you know. I used to be coming home from a Saturday night after, you know, a few jollies, and used to be dancing around the kitchen and all with her and all. She was great crack. I loved her a bit, you know. So from that, then, when we came to exchange, the first day that we came, I always remember, just so welcoming. Just found the people so friendly. And I come in, and to be honest, the first day I did find it a bit wacky, you know, people chanting around me and waving arms and all, and going, whoa, what is this all about, you know? And but you know what? It didn't put me off. I'm going to come back next week. There was something that brought me here. And I've actually loved coming ever since. And it was just the whole message. And I could speak to Andrew, you know, a few times about it. And I always ask questions, as John used to say to me. I've always got lots of questions. So, and I can remember speaking to Andrew. And I said to Andrew, like, you know, what do I need to do? And he just said to me, you don't have to do anything. He says, just open your heart and ask God into your life. So so that's what I did. And I chatted with Karen, and I made the decision I was going to have God in my life. And in July 2013, Karen and I and Sam, our second son, got baptized in White Park Bay, and that was a brilliant day. And I always remember that, and sort of deep in my heart. And with the whole, you know, the whole message of this unconditional love that God has for us, and that he'll never, sorry, that he'll never fail us. No matter what your past is, no matter how much you've sinned, he's there for everyone. And he's there for me, and I'm worthy, and I never ever felt worthy before. And it's really impacted my life, and it's made me, it's really given me an inner peace. And I can take so much from it, and I am growing, and I'm not, I don't profess to be a, you know, all the theology, you know, behind it, but I'm always willing to learn, I'm always listening, you know, to the message every week, and I listen again when I go home, and it's always a great word, and very encouraging and inspiring. And within Exchange 2, just met up, so just hooked up and had so many friendships and networked with friends and families and with the rugby and just everything. The girls were going for coffee days, and it's just something that was probably missing in our life that we really, really appreciate, you know, within church. And we're probably happier now than what we've ever been. Then in 2013, we had, I think, oh, just all things are there for a reason. Like, we came in 2012, and 2013 was a really tragic year for us with Karen's mum and dad so ill. And, you know, we lost our dad on 9th of April, and then our mum on Boxing Day. So, but with the encouragement that Exchange has given us, and the people around it, we're so eternally grateful. And I'm just going to conclude with, for me, my heart is bigger, my heart is softer, my heart's more open to the Lord. Thanks for listening. Love to you all.
Isn't that awesome? Do you know what I love about that? It's not just the story. It's the fact that Chris was probably the most nervous out of all of them. But just, so well, Chris, you know what? Well done. Facing your fear, standing up and actually talking. And it's absolutely brilliant. But what, you know, the thing is, with all of these families, that it's nice to hear that the church is a blessing. But they're the most incredible blessing to us. And so thank you very much. Next up. Isn't this good? Isn't it good to hear from these guys who serve us? Let's put your hands together for Mr. Paul Jordan.
Thank you. Oh, this is scary. Well, if you don't know me, my name's Paul, and I'm married to Gillian, and we have a wee boy, Connor, and he's 6 years old. So like Chris, I got asked on Monday, home bakery, and Andrew came into the shop, seeing him stand there, instantly felt he's going to ask me something. Well, it was that too, yes. But he asked me, could I talk about my journey, how I came, how God's love had changed my life. And unlike Chris's story, I was very fortunate and blessed. I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents were saved, and they took me to church, and they took me to Sunday school. And I was around Connor's age, actually. I was only about six, and somehow I got this notion. I found out about heaven and hell. It's quite dark, actually. And I got quite worried about this. I got quite nervous. And one night, I was sort of in bed thinking about it and crying, and my mom said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I heard about everybody's going to heaven, all these Christians, and you're going to heaven, and what's going to happen to me? And she says, well, don't worry about it, you just need to ask Jesus into your heart and you'll be okay. So I did that at a very young age, and I was quite happy for a while, but the problem with that was that I never developed any kind of relationship with the Lord through that. I kind of laugh. Andrew's told the story about his Uncle Eddie and the puppets and how they kind of scared the kids. And that was kind of my picture of God. He seemed distant. He seemed quite stern. If you didn't do what he said, he wasn't very happy with you. And even growing up, our life was like that in our house. I remember being told if I went to the cinema, feeling quite guilty about it. I used to be told, what would happen if the Lord returned and you're sitting in the cinema? I used to, scare me. And dear help us if we actually had to, buy a pint of milk on Sunday or something. Because, it was a covert operation in our house. We had to sneak around, make sure there was nobody from the church watching, and run in and buy it. And it was kind of strange looking back, but that was actually my experience of church. And because I didn't have any sort of relationship, when I hit teenage years and grew up, I lost interest in it. It seemed too restrictive. I felt condemned every time I went to church. I was never good enough. I'd always done something wrong. And it was just too hard, frankly. And I can't be with this. And I stopped going. And for many, many years, I never went near a church. And I knew that I really didn't have any real relationship with God. And as I hit my 20s, I moved into a family business. We have a wee bakery in the Newton Arch Road. And I started earning some money. And from the outside, things probably looked okay. I had nice cars and nice stuff and nice holidays. And I probably looked okay looking at me. But I was not happy inside. I knew that something was missing. And I knew that I needed to get right with God. So eventually I decided to, I had to find these answers. I had to search a bit more. So I started creeping back into church. Literally just sort of went to different churches in the evening, sat down, had a listen. And one night I went to this church. And the pastor started talking about the parable of the prodigal son. Now, I'd heard this story. I'd heard the story loads of times. So I wasn't really that engaged with it at the beginning. But he didn't focus on the son. He started talking about the father in the story. And he started talking about the love that the father had for the son. And he got to that verse where it says, and when the son was a long way off, the father saw him and ran towards him and embraced him and hugged him, put the robe around his shoulders. And that image suddenly became very, very clear in my head that was God's heart for me. It's God's heart for everybody. And it was a completely different image than what I was used to growing up. It just struck me that night. I'd heard all my life, actually, that Jesus loved me. I'd sung the wee songs, done the actions. But that night, it became a reality in my heart. And that night, I remember fighting back the tears. But I made a decision that I was going to trust him and follow him. And now I was going to look at him as a loving father, no longer as the stern, strict, condemning God. But that image made a real impact on me. I'm flicking over. And when I look at it now, I realize that I actually had experienced, that was my first encounter really with the grace message. Because for the son in the story, he wasn't condemned. There was no punishment for him. He just had received love that he'd come back. And that night, my life went on a new direction. I started to have a real relationship with God. I still had loads of questions, still lots of things I didn't understand. But the relationship in my mind had been established. Around that time, my parents as well were actually getting new revelation. They were listening to a lot of Christian channels and getting new ideas. And my dad actually said, hey, you want to listen to this guy? And it was a guy called Andrew Womack, which some of you might be familiar with. And I started listening to this guy, and his teaching was focusing on God's love and grace. And I learned, started to grow and learn all new things. A lot of my questions were being answered. And not soon later, I met Jillian. We got married. We set up a home, and we had our son. I've been really blessed by God. I have an awful lot to be thankful for. And at home, we started reading all this material, Joseph Prince, this message. It was really changing our lives and changing our thinking. The only slight problem left is that the churches we were going to, and they were good, but they were clashing a wee bit with what we were hearing. They were mixing in a wee bit of condemnation, a wee bit of law in with their message. And we used to sit there and go, that's not quite right. That's not what we were hearing in the house. So to cut it short a wee bit, we went and we found out about Exchange. And after only being here about 2 weeks, we just knew this is it. This is definitely the place that we have to be. We've been really blessed by and continue to learn from the ministry that and the revelation that God has given Andrew. We've made some great friends, made some great people. And we are excited just to play even the smallest part, if we can, and help them getting this message out there. Because not many people, I don't think not a lot of people hear it. It's also exciting to see my son Connor, who's my age when I remember growing up, that he is not going to be saddled down with all the religious baggage that I had. Because even now, sometimes I can feel myself slightly slipping back into that mindset and have to keep checking myself. And to know that he's growing up, and all the kids are growing up, just knowing that God's love and unconditional for them. The last wee verse I'd written down, it's a verse that sometimes Andrew reads out. Romans 2:4, that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And I can testify that is just my experience. It's the only, that revelation changed my heart. And I don't think anything else actually does it properly. That's it.
It's not too bad, is it? It's not too bad at all. Well done, Paul. And last but by no means least, keep the cream to the last, isn't that right? David Hamilton. Come on, give him a big welcome.
I'm not as organized as the other two guys, so what you're going to get is just a reading, because my memory can hardly take me anywhere. Okay? I'm David, in case you hadn't realized. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, but my parents sent us to Sunday school and to a children's meeting on a Wednesday night. Looking back now, I realize that even then, God had a plan for my life. As Diane and I went to the same children's meeting, but although we lived close to each other, I didn't know Diane. Life went on as typical teenagers, and I met Diane when I was 15. And married her in June 1977. Then in 1979, I had an encounter with God, which changed my life completely. I attended a church where I learned a lot about religious living. But in those years, God did some amazing things, even miracles. He gave us two children. That was one of the miracles, as we were told we would never have a family. But God had other plans for us. I was involved in church life and in everyday living, but I always felt something was missing. I was continually asking questions, praying, searching for answers, always trying to reach an acceptable standard and life pleasing to God. As we lived our lives, we felt that God was moving us. This took us to a totally different kind of church. This church was very Americanized way of thinking and doing church. In this church, we did learn a lot, but still felt that God had something more for us to learn. After a lot of prayer and looking to what God would want us to do, we left the church thinking that we would just go to a big church, sit at the back, say nothing, and do nothing. Friends had asked us to come along to exchange, and we did, and we have been here about a year and a half. I asked God this question, what am I doing here? I was talking to Andrew and Penny one day, and I says to Penny, do you believe that people can be raised from the dead? Penny replied, yes. I thought, what am I doing here? Because these people are nuts. Then I said, God, if this is true, then I'll be nuts with them. I then started to listen to Andrew's teachings with an open mind. This quickly realized what Andrew was teaching was something I had never heard before. God really opened my eyes and my thinking to the God that loves me and also covered all my sin. So what is the grace message? Knowing that God loves you and has your best interest at heart. God will not judge you because Jesus died and was raised for you and has all your sins covered. Only good things come from God. God wants to bless me beyond all measure. I have choices to make. Some will be good choices, but some will be bad choices. But God has that covered. I will have consequences for bad choices I make, but still loves me and wants to bless me. So what does this grace message mean to me? I have let the Spirit within me take control of my life and see signs, wonders, and miracles, and even people raised from the dead. But because when Jesus went to heaven, Jesus said he would send the Spirit to guide me and see heaven come to earth. So faith does not come from the mind, it comes from the heart. So the renewed mind is a meeting of mind and spirit. I will live with God's provision that has no end if I will not fear and just rest and receive what God has for me. So what I'm looking forward to is seeing God working through his Spirit in my life and in the people that come to exchange. Thank you.